You're listening to the Confessions of a Clairvoyant Housewife podcast. From marriage to menopause and margaritas, nothing is off the table. This is Cindy Goldenberg.
Hi, it's Cindy Goldenberg. I hope you're doing well. You know, being clairvoyant isn't something that is very difficult to be. Like I've always said, I believe that we all are. We are psychic, we are intuitive, we are connected to a divine, loving, intelligent universe, God, creator. We are innately sentient, feeling, emotional, loving beings, but we are here having a human experience. Yet, what I find effective for me is to break down principles and ideas into simple tools, things that you can apply in your everyday life so your own innate clairvoyance or connection to a higher source or an inner voice or an inner feeling or a knowingness that is good and pure and loving. There are ways to become aware of this and utilize it for your best interest and for the highest good. So here are three lessons that I learned from spirit. Number one, it's okay to change your mind. I mean, think about it. Haven't you ever gone shopping and you're looking for something like in a department store and you think in your mind you want to wear a certain outfit or you need a certain piece of jewelry or whatever it is. And then while you're out, you see other options or you see things that catch your eye or a great sale and you change your mind. And we don't think anything about that. We just go with the flow and go, yeah, why not? And then when you think back when you were young and little and you'd play with your friends and you'd all go out or get ice cream or do something and you think one kid goes, oh, well, I want this. And at first you were going to get pink bubble gum, but then they got chocolate chip mint and you go, oh, okay, I changed my mind. I want that too. So it's in our nature to be open and to be curious and to be flexible. But something happens along the way. As we get older or we get conditioned or seasoned or patterned or trained or programmed, we get accolades or we get praise for behaving in a certain way or repeating the same patterns or agreeing with parents or society. And that's all good. It's natural. It's a way to grow up, to become an adult, to become responsible, to mimic those that you mentor or trust. And whether or not you do when you are older, you may change your mind and see things differently. But in your development, it's very natural to avoid conflict and go with the flow and represent either a group or a family or a country or a culture or a club or whatever it is. We like to identify ourselves in a certain way and we like to present ourselves in a certain way. Good for you. It's all fine. But as we become more conscientious of what we are thinking, as we become more awakened, as we become more honest and truthful and curious with ourselves, as we go into exploring the why behind our behavior through meditation and through intention, know that spirit invites you to look at many different circumstances or the reflection in the mirror in different, actually multi various ways. It is okay to have a belief and then question it. Not because it's a bad belief or not because it wasn't original to you, because maybe there is a quiet urge for you to question it, or there is something that's not helping or working out in your life, and you go, I wonder why this keeps happening to me. And without shame or blame, you go in and think about, well, why is this happening to me? And instead of looking at the word happening to me, we can say, how do I feel when I think about this? Or how do I feel when this issue or person or belief or experience presents itself to me? These are all little quiet invitations to go, hey, psst, look over here. You know what? You're standing on this balcony and your view is nice. But if you follow me, I'll take you up another 40 flights and I'll show you a view you'll never forget. So really, spirit being your guides, your angels, your loved ones, God, light, ascended masters, your pets, everything that is innately made of pure love is trying to quietly get your attention to look at something in a different way. I call it viewing through angel eyes or just a different perspective. So if you have an idea or a conviction, let's say, then just know that everything is reversible and interchangeable. So what does that mean? You may have a political view and you go, you know, I've always been this way and my mother was this way and my grandfather was this way. But now I look at things differently or I look at current events and I want to think about it, or I may not want to continue believing this way. Well, you wouldn't have any problem changing your mind or talking like that. But if it's something deep down inside, if you don't realize what you are really thinking, like, I am not supposed to do anything different than what I intended to be. Like you're in school or you're out of school and you have a job and you go, no, this is good and this is responsible. Whenever there is a little prick, an uneasy feeling, a urge, or something that is making you feel unhappy, you must invite it and know that not only is it okay to invite it, but it's okay to look at it so you can change your belief. And the way that you change your belief is to analyze it without shame or judgment and to surrender it or let it go. And you do that by inviting it, thinking, is this working for me? Or is there another way? Or is there something I should know that I can't see? And by inviting these little questions, I got news for you. Somebody is feeding you the lines. Your higher self, your angels, your divine team are making you, or you, your higher self, is asking these questions. And it may sound like it's just coming from you, but you're being prompted because it's for your highest good. Something in you is showing you to look in a different direction. Now, it doesn't always have to be something traumatic or something bad or something ineffective or that you're dating the wrong person or you're dating the same person, but they just have different hair color and different names. And year after year, it's the same kind of personality. But whatever it is that isn't for your highest good is going to keep repeating and repeating and repeating until you notice it. So if you can meet that idea at the pass and kind of get there halfway and just say, okay, today's the day I'm going to analyze how I think and what I do and what my beliefs are, but I'm going to invite you, Spirit, to show me, is there a different way? Can I pick up this beautiful, like, crystal paperweight that has many different facets, like a diamond? And can I pick it up and move it around, and I see in the light that it has all these refractory light and pretty designs that shine up on the wall and the ceiling? It's the same object, but you're just moving it around and looking at it from different perspective. So when you analyze and look at something or a belief in yourself that you go, no, I need to do this, and this is who I am, and I like being in control, and I am a good provider, and if it weren't for me, nothing would get done, and these are all okay, but maybe you're just not getting respect, or maybe you're just frustrated in a relationship with your child, with your spouse, with a friend, with a girlfriend, with a coworker. Maybe you're saying yes too often. Maybe something. But if you can just invite any kind of way to see the same behavior in a different way, I guarantee you your clairvoyance, your psychic awareness, your intuition will be loud and clear. Your divine team will make it really, really loud and clear. So let's invite that kind of perspective and say, what can you show me? So everything is reversible and interchangeable. Now, if you don't realize this and you think, nope, it's my way and I got to be this way and I like to go to work and I like to gossip and did you hear about this and I can't believe this and my mother this and my father this and everybody else on the external world is there to blame and shame and not me. I didn't do a goddamn thing. It's not my fault. I'm good. I'm this. I'm that. I go to temple. I go to church. I go do all the checklists. And then I'm nice and I'm conscious and I'm in love and I'm happy and I'm friendly, but then you turn around and go, fuck this, fuck that, fuck you, fuck this. And then you're combative or something else. You can't be in both lanes at the same time. So if you don't realize what you are doing or emitting or creating, then what you really end up doing is criticizing and blaming and punishing other people as well as yourself. Because if you see people as the bad culprit, that it's their fault, and you're full of blame and judgment, it's in truth a reflection of the way you think of yourself. In other words, you really have such severe inadequacy and lack of self-worth because all blame is self-hate. So what this does is disempower you. And it disempowers you through self-sabotage. Now, self-sabotage doesn't mean you go out binge drinking and then you just fuck everything up in every relationship. Those are kind of obvious. I'm talking about the quiet inner nuance, the part of you that goes, yeah, it's okay. No, they love me, or my kid this, or the coworker this, or the friend said this, or I'll just take the high road because I don't want conflict, or, you know, I got to pick my battles. I'll choose this one, but I'm a good, even, spiritual, loving person. But just think about what I just did. That's called rationalizing. And what I'm really doing is disempowering and rationalizing someone else's behavior or I am ignoring my own inner worth. So if I stop and say, but wait a minute, how does that make me feel? Well, I love the person, but I don't love their behavior. or I don't love their choices all the time, and I love this, but I don't enjoy that. So then you got to ask yourself, why are you doing this? Because I'm used to it, or it's what I know. It's all I know. This is how I raised. I got to get along. I have a bunch of brothers and sisters. I couldn't always have what I want. So we're not judging where the thought comes from, but we have to look at it and go, why are we disempowering ourselves? And why are we allowing self-sabotage through rationalization or justification? So if you ask yourself, how does this make me feel? I feel angry or I feel sad. Why? Because I'm not being loved by the person the way I want to, even if it's a friendship or a coworker or a boss. I'm not being respected in the way I want. There's something about me that I'm allowing this to happen. And if you look at it at the surface, you'll go, well, then, oh my God, I'm such a codependent and a weak welcome mat and a people, welcome mat and a people pleaser. Oh my God, I hate myself. And oh, I fucked up and I didn't do it right. That's not what I'm saying. This is the quiet talk. This is the quiet inner voice that you're having the conversation with. And you are asking yourself, why am I like this? My urge is to be this way. Can I be differently? Yes. I can notice it. Yes. I don't want to be this way if it attracts people who take advantage of me. I want to be that way because I love that way that I am, that I'm loving, that I am people pleasing, I am nurturing. Those are good qualities that I love, but I don't want to be taken advantage of. So help me look at this differently. I want to change my mind. I want to change my belief about myself. I don't want to disempower anymore by saying I'm bad or, oh, forget it, or I already weigh 50 pounds overweight. What the hell? Might as well eat some more. Or whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm willing to change my mind. We also rationalize and we are safe and we conform because we have to. I mean, we have to go to work. We have to go to school. We have to show up on time. We have to stop at a stop sign. We have to do certain things. But sometimes we just fall into, well, they're the authority or they are the government or they are this or they are that or they are my parents or they are the authority figure and they know more than me and I can go along. It doesn't mean that you become angry and combative and strike out against authority. What I'm asking you to do is to look at how you rationalize it and just say, well, I have to conform to authority in order to get paid, in order to have a job, in order to go to school, in order to be who I am. But in my mind, I can make this not matter. Just because I do that doesn't mean that I am less than. Just because I say this or go along or mediate or manage people doesn't mean that I am weak. So we can analyze and invite our thoughts and our beliefs, but we can change our mind about how important it is or how relevant it is or how significant it is. And if it isn't, we can surrender it to a higher power. And then we can plug in a different thought and change our mind and say, but I'm still great, or I'm still better, and I still deserve, and I'm still wonderful, and I'm still respected. So disempowering by giving your power away is a pattern that we all do and we don't even realize it. So sometimes it's good just to sit down or even while you're driving, ask, how do I disempower myself? And you'll hear. You'll hear instances or you'll hear people. And the other thing is, if you invite the question and then you hear your mind say, well, if I do this, I'm okay. If I think this, I'm okay. If I say this, I'm okay. If I call myself this, then it's okay. Again, what is this? This is rationalizing. Rationalizing and justification, we do it all the time. But what that is a reaction. It's not a true, authentic, creative force. It's reacting to the status quo because we don't want to create conflict because it's not really important. There's no fire to put out. But if we don't acknowledge those things that kind of bite at us and make us feel not great, I don't feel bad. We're so used to feeling, I don't feel bad. We're so used to settling. So if we can look and go, wait a minute, I want to feel good. I want to feel happy. So we can still have the same circumstance, but we can look at it differently by changing your mind. So how do you do it? You make a plan. You make a plan that I'm going to look at myself differently every day. How are you going to do that? Make a list. Today, I'm going to see myself as successful. So no matter what you do, the same person calls you a butthead at work, you just smile inside and go, I'm still successful, regardless of you being an asshole. So instead of you reacting to it and believing it and going along with a conditioned thought, you are consciously reprogramming your mind to negate the thought, create a new one, and believe it. So when you make a plan, you can format it, you can make a list, and you can check off your accomplishments and reward yourself. If I do this, then this happens. If I think of myself this way, then I attract more success. If I say this to myself, then I attract more loving relationships. If I do this, then I receive a romantic love in my life. You can fill in the blanks, but you are making the rules. You can make it a game. You can do it to a song. You can do it to and from work or to and from carpool to drop off your children. You can do it in the mirror. You can post it on the mirror with a paper. You can affiliate these thought patterns with brushing your teeth. You can imprint it near the kitchen sink. So when you're rinsing the dishes and putting them in the dishwasher, you're reminding yourself that you're thinking in a new, different way. So the accomplishment doesn't mean you have to accomplish. I mean, it's good to write goals or whatever you do or make lists. Not everybody makes lists or whatever. But, you know, it's good to have a focal endpoint. And there are accomplishments. And we get awards for accomplishments or we accomplished getting a degree or finishing a class or finishing studying. The accomplishment I'm talking about is the awareness that you did it, the awareness that you're committing to it. I accomplished that. I thought of this thought. I said it differently. Check, I'm accomplished. Because in truth, you are. You just did it. So if you're accomplished, then you're going to attract more accomplishing things. And accomplishing people and accomplishing experiences, all because you changed your mind. Changing your mind is through connection. It's the connection, like I say, to God, higher power, Christos, Christ consciousness, masters, angels, whatever you consider holy. Because remember, you are that. You are part of this eternal, intelligent, loving force. You are part of your creator. You are co-creating, regardless of religion or non-religion, regardless of neuroscience and neurobiology and your body and your physics or your metaphysics and the invisible auras or the brain cells that spin in your body. You are connected. So if you're making the rules, you can change the way the game is played. You can make any way that you want by saying, yes, I'm willing to change my mind. I'm willing to change, but I'm also willing to change my mind because my mind is going to help me focus in which direction I'm going to go into. Now, if it becomes overwhelming, just break it down to a couple things. Just a couple things. It means that you don't need to master this and have every part of your life down to a T, and I'm going to do this, and then this is going to happen, and then this and this. It just means that you're going to ignite a part of your mind that you're not using. It's kind of like being open and letting the flies in, you know, like leaving the window open with no screen. You're not being deliberate, or what do they say sometimes, like if you don't have focal points, or you're not conscious, or you're not having your subconscious have something to do by having a vision board or a list or something that, like I say, imprinting your mind with your toothbrush or your kitchen sink, that you're just going to end up bouncing around like you would clothes in a clothes dryer. But when you give your mind direction, that's all it needs. Then you have purpose. Then you have a focal point. So remember, it's okay to change your mind. And the way that you can accomplish this in the best possible outcome is to always do it through unconditional love. This unconditional love is a spiritual awareness. It's intentional. How you become aware is an individual thing. Like I say, you can get connected to all that is, to God, light, universe, love, through your pets, through nature, the outdoors. With me, I love to go walk around the lake where I live. I love to see the birds and all the different colors that they are. Now that I live on the Gulf Coast, they're entirely different. I find myself standing there staring at them. I find them talking to me and flying overhead. So we can find our spiritual awareness without always sitting down and meditating. We can do it while we're driving, through music, or through movement, just walking, or exercise, or self-care. Self-care can mean taking care of your body, doing a mani-pedi, or just taking care of yourself, knowing that you are beautiful and divine the way you are right now, regardless of your weight or your looks or anything else. But allowing yourself to have an interest in getting a lipstick or getting something pretty for yourself, regardless of however your body is shaped. Don't think I can't go there and have that because I don't look like this and this and this. Be conscious that you just did that. Don't shame yourself if you did. Go back to what I said. Invite why you're doing this. And change your mind. And say, regardless of whatever my body shape is or whatever I thought I had to be, I'm changing my mind and recognizing that I'm beautiful the way you made me, God, right here and right now. And then do something for yourself and buy a chapstick for a dollar. And then every time you use the chapstick, no, I bought this with the intention that I'm worth being loved and recognized and respected and valued. It doesn't have to be a $10,000 diamond ring. It can be something from the Dollar Tree. Okay? Also, know that anything that you're doing is all intentional. Being and doing an activity or thinking or writing or being conscious or observant or listening to music or enjoying. That is a forward moving. No, I take that back. It's not really forward. It's expanding. It's twirls in some direction. It's like a breeze. It's like a little swirl. It's like a sway. The wind goes in many different directions. Your energy and aura goes everywhere when you are keeping your mind and your beingness in the present moment. You can do it physically. I mean, think about it. When you're playing a sport or hitting a soccer ball or a tennis ball or you're skiing, do you think about a book that you read in eighth grade? Do you think about ninth grade algebra or your water bill or what someone said at work? You can't. You are so in the moment. You got to watch where you're moving and you got to keep your eyes open and you're looking at the view until you stop and look at the mountains. But while you're skiing, you got to feel the rhythm of the snow and the skis and balance and slurp up your you know, exhaust and hold your breath and exhale and because you're so in the moment. That is God. That's light. That's universe. That's creation. That's full blown in the moment. So that's why I'm saying, if you go from that, and you don't have to be skiing or playing a sport, but when you go from in a moment, you are happy and you are present. And then you go further down the day, or on another day, you become a political tyrant, or you become a bully, or you become a bitch, or you become an awful boss, or you become a gossiping, judgmental, jealous, competitive person. You kind of screwed up and self-sabotaged everything you worked out while you were skiing or bowling or doing a nice walk looking at the birds. So you got to kind of be responsible for what you're doing or what you're creating or what you're sabotaging, because you can't have it both ways. Again, the word deliberate, intention, conviction, focus, accountability, willingness. These aren't just words. You have to commit to them and understanding what they mean and how it works. So by forming a spiritual connection, what you're really doing is creating your purpose. You're reconnecting with your source. You're remembering who you really are. And you're remembering why you are here. And you're remembering what you're really capable of. And even if you don't have the details, you'll feel the feeling of, I know something, or I'm ready for something, or yes, this is a good deal, this is a good plan, something is good for me. We can feel it because we're hardwired to know it, just like we're also hardwired and expected to ask, so we can expand and we can resituate. So just know that stagnation, conformity, and limitation triggers helplessness and lack and hopelessness. And then we start again to blame the outside world. And when you blame others, you become the victim. And it creates a vicious cycle. So it's imperative that we change our mind and that we change our perception and we change our direction multiple times. There's no failure. There's only attempts that did not formulate. Get that? There's no failure. There's only attempts that did not formulate. Sometimes I go back and look at these affirmations or things that I wanted or what kind of house or what kind of bedroom or what kind of decor. And I find these little notes in my spiritual books. And I think that didn't happen. But I can look at something else and go, that did. So it wasn't like, oh, I didn't get my way. That wasn't of the highest good. And I get that. And now I look at it and go, there's no way I want that. That was years ago. It doesn't mean anything to me now. But I don't look at it as a failure. I go, no, it didn't formulate because it wasn't meant to be. So changing means letting go and receiving new information. So recognize that self-sabotage mindsets are things like keeping really busy. You're busy, busy, busy. You got things to do. I mean, as a mother, you are busy and you do have to do a lot of time management. But even if you're not a mother and you work or whatever, you know, we all have time management. But I'm talking about busy work. Like, you know, you create this urgency or you're late and then you hurry up and speed up because, you know, you want to feel important. But busyness, avoidance, denial, drama, conflict, they're all fear-based defense mechanisms that are self-sabotage. Just remember, there's no contest, but you're always a winner. So stop changing lanes. Don't be a drama queen or someone that's a bully or combative or argumentative. Instead, stay in your lane. Stay focused, meditative, aware, peace-filled, and let go of anything that is combative or competitive or judgmental. Choose to be responsible for thinking differently with purpose and expectation. Expect miracles. Expect good things in your life. Expect greatness. Have faith and trust in the big picture, in God, in the universe, regardless of the setbacks, because there will be those. It's part of the yin and the yang, the light expanding into the dark. You are here to experience that which you're not. But the faith and the knowingness is not a choice. It's a remembrance. It's who you are. And what you see in your mind and what you anchor is your reality. And it will become so. The second thing I've learned from spirit is to put yourself first. You and God, loving universe and creator, you are one. You're a team. You're eternally connected. You cannot fail because you cannot disconnect, but you can think you can. In fact, I've said this before, hell, we think of devil, demons, lowlife, monsters, boogeyman, something that can suck your brains out, whatever. You know, I get it. There are earthbound, angry people, and they're people. And whether they're people of this earth or anything else, pain is hell. People's stories, people who are earthbound, who don't want to go in the light, they do exist. But you can't be in that driving lane and be in this driving lane that I'm talking about at the same time. So when I say hell, hell is pain. It's a disconnection from God. It's a disconnection from love. It's a disconnection from truth. It's a disconnection from eternal, universal, innate intelligence. Think about it. You can believe that you are disconnected and alone and not loved. And you can forget that. And when you do, through a death, through a divorce, through getting hurt, through getting abandoned, through getting betrayed, through getting humiliated, you are in hell. So hell is a pain, and it is sadness, and it is grief, and it is real. And I am sorry, and angels are sorry, and our divine team, they say they are sorry. But like I have conveyed to you, because I've read many spiritual books and also felt it, that they say that this is here, only here, and that in truth, you do not carry this pain, but you can believe that you had to, or that you have to, or that you are here to suffer, but in truth, you are not. So we are here to experience that which we're not. We are loving, eternal, wonderful light beings, but we come into the dark, and we come into the polarity and duality of life and death and up and down and black and white and in and out and wet and dry. And so we are here to experience that which we're not. So we kill each other or we hurt each other. So that is hell. So I just wanted to say this disconnection, if you can remember that this hopelessness and this misery and this hell is merely amnesia. So you are, even if you don't feel it, just put it in your pocket like a shiny dime. You are connected and you cannot fail and you cannot be separated because you are first. And when you put yourself first, it doesn't mean that someone goes second. It feels like that on the ego-based world. It feels like that in the ego-based world that you are saying, nope, I'm number one, so you're number two. No, what it really means is you and me, we, God, light, universe, we are one. We, you and me, we're a team. I am an eternal being. I am an eternal, light, beautiful soul. And even if I can't really remember that, I know it exists in me. So that part of me is going to get ignited when I say, okay, I'm going to put myself first because I am this beautiful light. And you can fake it till you make it. Everything is important, including all of your pain and all of your emotions and all of your desires and all of your needs. Everything that you've been through is important. Everything is valued. Again, I've heard and done so many readings where the angels say, I'm so sorry for everything that you've gone through. And I have done so many readings where I have told people things so private, so painful, so heinous, so awful. Parts of their life that they don't want to know or don't want anyone to know. And I hear myself explaining to them by channeling their angels and saying, we were always with you when XYZ happened. And I am used to witnessing this story as I listen to it. I'm not translating it. It's just coming through me. And I feel the feeling of unconditional love. I feel heaven. I feel eternity. I feel bliss. And I feel safe. And I'm not present enough as a human or as a person to be affected by what it is that I'm saying. And I'm not crying and I'm not sad because I can feel that it's coming through me. And I can become one with this higher loving being. But the people or the person I'm talking to cries. So let me ask you, who am I talking to? Who am I hearing from, to be more accurate? So if I have this ability to hear something so personal to tell a client, it is coming through because the pain and the anguish and the horror have to be acknowledged to be healed, to be elevated, to be transmuted. Why? Because pain is a heavy, dense energy. And there's only energy. We are energy. And it's slow or it's fast, but energy never goes away, but it transmutes from heavy and dark to light. And it does it when it's recognized. And when it's recognized, it's valued. So the pain is valued. And when the pain is valued, it no longer can hold you. It no longer can attach to you. And then you begin to heal. Because somebody or something that is coming through me is telling the client, I'm sorry that this happened, but now that it happened, let me tell you that I was always with you. I, the angel, I, your loved one, I, your spirit guide, I, a higher being that maybe isn't even in a human form. I, this light being, am always with you, and I have protected you, and I love you, and you are bursting into this world with so much meaning and purpose. And that's usually within the first 5 minutes. And I go on for hours sometimes. So there is a connection that is real that I am hearing. And when I tell the client, they are re-remembering their purpose. Yes, in a human form, they are crying and remembering their pain, but they feel the unconditional love that is coming through them, which makes them cry, and which makes me afterwards very reflective and filled with gratitude. But I tell you that because it's a very real thing. So if you don't necessarily feel it to that extent, you may not need to, but just understand that it's there. Like gravity, like the wind, like the morning sun, it's there. So say to yourself, I'm starting to love myself. I'm starting to understand. I'm willing to see myself through your eyes, God. So as you put yourself first, you let go of guilt. How you first start by observing it. Where does it come from? Target your urges. We talked about this a few minutes ago. Where do your urges and your habits and your beliefs and your feelings come from? Right? You're going to see your patterns and then you're going to change your mind because you're going to let go of guilt. You're going to allow them, but you're going to say goodbye to these responses and take time for yourself. You're going to be deliberate and say, this is for me. This is for me. This lipstick is for me. Playing this music and driving in the car for 10 minutes is for me. This isn't a quantitative or qualitative contest where you get how much I get a trip to the Bahamas. That's for me. That's great too. But if you just start with a deliberate intent that this is for me, just to shine that part of I'm putting myself first, I'm putting myself first. Another way to do it is to practice saying no. No. No, thank you. No, I am not going to be available to do that. Really? Why? Because why? You're just too special or what the hell? Or I went to everything you did and how come you're not coming to this party? Remember saying or practice saying no. No really means yes to yourself. Yes to new opportunity. Yes to new things, new people. Do not make excuses. This is not so easy. I'm not the master of this myself. It doesn't come natural. You have to work at it. But it isn't work. You have to be conscious. You have to understand what you're doing. Do not make excuses. Do not do rationalization and justification because these are not authentic feelings. They're not truth. And don't cater to others. Reflect your own truth. No, thank you. And saying no doesn't mean that you're not available. Okay, no, I can't do it. Or maybe I'll find time for it later, but don't depend on me. Or no, I'm not coming to your party, but keep asking. I may come to the next one. Being menopausal and older mother, when I had my daughter, I said that to every friend I had that was turning 40 because I was older and had already done all these mommy things and I had no interest, even though they were my good friends. 10 minutes maybe I would go, but I'd go, I really don't want to go, don't invite me, but if you want to go out together, you and me, I'll go with you, but I don't want to sit with 40 other people or 20 other people and make chitty-chat and chitty-chat because I'm older, been there, done that. I'd rather go sit at the bar and talk to the bartender. So I'd say, no, no thank you, I don't want to go, but keep asking. So, saying no also means that you're setting boundaries. So if you feel compromised or unhappy or genuinely not interested, then allow yourself to detach. Say it in your mind. I love you, but not your choices. I love you, but not your behavior. I love you, but not what you do. I love you, but you're 20 years younger and I don't have the same interest. I love you, but I don't enjoy the things that you do. Allow yourself to detach. Do not make excuses for taking care of yourself and commit to being responsible for yourself. The third lesson I learned from Spirit is that you are meant to be here. You have a divine purpose. When you reflect upon all your pain and past mistakes and hurt feelings and life experiences, try to remind yourself that you did the best you could. You did the best you could under those circumstances with what you knew at that time. That way you can forgive yourself. You can also look at other people in the same way when you are ready, like parents or anything else, where you can forgive them even though they angered you or hurt you. But when you are in the right mindset, you can say, but under those circumstances, you were doing the best you could. Frankly, I could have done it a hell of a lot better, and in fact, I do, and you were really fucked up, but the part of you that thought you were doing the best you could, I forgive that. So you can think this way for yourself or for other people. The point is, be gentle and patient with yourself and do not blame, just observe. Reflect on your life's experiences and get inspired by your vulnerability, your resilience, and your need to feel and want love, and your courage to face it and understand it and forgive it. Get inspired by everything you've ever done. Remember that you're not alone. I think I made that clear, that we are always divinely connected. You've never been abandoned. Angels, like I say, are sorry for what you've been through, but ask them, why did it have to be this way? Or what do I know from this? Or what is the meaning? Or what can change? Or how can I benefit? And they will always answer you. It's a good idea to change from victim thinking to becoming free. And you do this just through your awareness that whatever happened to you happened for a reason. And that the second part of this is that you accept it. You embrace this acceptance and you recognize your history, but you celebrate your innate ability to resurrect and start over. So you really celebrate who you are, which is this magnificent, innate, loving potential. You're always expanding and redefining. You're always expanding and redefining. When you do this, you become aware of your miracle mind. You are a co-creator with rich, magnetic, intelligent, attracting energy that brings in new people, new opportunity, and support in order to benefit yourself and others. Because in truth, your pain and your experiences are another person's gift of worth and self-respect. You see, we're here to heal all the broken pieces, not only in ourselves, but in others. But you don't have to be consciously part of a charity or a leader or have your testimony written out on a t-shirt and walk around and expose everything that's ever happened to you. In fact, it's totally unnecessary. Because I will tell you again, your willingness to see yourself and your worth and your acceptance through your pain and your glory emits a frequency where other people recognize that they are safe and that you have become the example, that you have walked through the fire and that you are glorious and resurrected and that you are a leader without even opening your mouth. Believe me, you exude this knowing energy and you give other people permission to do the same thing. So if you want to be Oprah and you want to talk about your past and you want to be somebody or you want to write a book, then if you're called for that, then do it. But if you are not, it is not necessary. Your self-acceptance is greater or just as great as a best-selling book. Remember that we are all saved and we are all saviors. But we can't change others, but we can change ourselves through this self-worth and respect. And we can become the example for other people. These are the Christed masters. And Christed masters, Jesus Christ, I don't mean it exactly as just religion. I mean it like Christos is the ancient Greek root word for divine intelligence, the Christos. The Christed mind. We are all part of this Christed mind of resurrecting, of becoming anew, of intelligence, starting over, being the light. So when you become aware of these principles, you can begin to really enjoy your divine connection, your spiritual guidance, your innate intuition, your psychic ability, and see life in a different way. Okay, this is from my book, Forgiveness, the Divine Connection, which I wrote back in 2007. And it's a collection of all of my channeled angelic prayers, affirmations. I mean, I would be in the shower and I would hear like a radio voice come in and I jump out wet and start writing things down. And then I put it together in a little gift book about how to really forgive yourself and other people. But I included a lot of channeled messages because in my first, I'd say 4 or 5 years, that's all I did is just sit for an hour a day and just take dictation. This part's called Value Your Pain. Virtuosity knows how to alchemize the simplest subject, healing through forgiveness. Every situation is healed for the one who is provoked and for the one who provokes. Hard to imagine, but it's like cleaning up the sewage and other pollutants. The one who embarked the nasty attitude in the first place is the one who really carries the torch for you to find your truth right then and there in order to hold open a door of possibility, a new place where, when entered, all else gives way and a present, a real gift, is presented for you and only you. Your presence, your shining willingness to let this matter go into another realm of possibility opens a floodgate of surprises, only what your highest imagination can handle. Speak in soft tones, nurture your heart, it's worth the time and energy. Value your pain. Remember, it is extinguishable. However, simple recognition is the first place to be. Honor the value of being hurt. As hard as this is to comprehend, it is truly a remarkable way of receiving your worth by demanding how you want to be treated and valued by others. Do so not by condemning others. Throw those thoughts out of the picture. Instead, realize the gain you are commanding right now by accentuating what you know to be a difficult situation, by releasing it to a higher plane where forgiveness always exists. It is a perpetual place of silence and reformation. It is an acquired skill. Be gentle with yourself. Apply heat to the wound. We promise your needs are well taken care of. Always look right in front of you. There is a promise of a bright future. You are being woven into a lacy time structure that will never let you go. Be in peace. Hold that awkward moment for only a second and then reevaluate. Conceive not of justice, but release. Affirm. This situation is resolved today, now, and always. I am provided for right now. The darkness lifts away when you choose to be quiet and still for just one refreshing moment. That's all it takes to wash away regret and fear in all forms. What's done to others comes back 100-fold through forgiveness. After all, it's part of the divine plan. I read this, I have no memory of writing it, but I know I heard the dictation. And so I hope with these simple principles that you can invite a new way of looking at yourself and seeing the world in a different, more positive way, and that you too can hear your beautiful, rich, divine connection through your innate, wonderful psychic intuition. Thank you and God bless.
You have been listening to the Confessions of a Clairvoyant Housewife podcast with intuitive expert Cindy Goldenberg. To learn more or stay connected, be sure to visit www.cindygoldenberg.com.